Hey guys, welcome back. It's that time again. It's Castle Council time.
Castle Council.
Yeah, welcome guys. It's been a while, a couple of weeks since our last podcast. But we got really busy now. We got a couple of them coming up all at once. We'll be knocking them down and giving you a whole lot all at the same time. Well, and you can just listen when you get a chance to listen to them. Simple as that. Easy as that. Yeah, Castle Council brought to you, as it is always, by my three loyal sponsors. I'm not going to go into too much detail and give them a long-winded intro. I'll talk about them as we go through the show. Mix it up a little bit, change it up. Obviously, the Shave Union, Jack Black, and Papo Pronto are the three that allow me to do this and reward me for doing this, should I say. So thank you to those three great sponsors. This week's podcast, not even this week, because we don't seem to be getting them out weekly. And as I said, we're going to be dropping three within the next week. So this podcast is just touching on just a little bit about where we are and how things are going at the moment in terms of South Africa and in terms of us as people, as normal people living on society, and tell you a little bit about what I've been doing and where I am. And maybe you relate to, maybe you don't, and maybe you got your own ideas. But one thing I do want to ask, if you guys know anybody out there or you think there's some topic that we need to look at or discuss, or you know somebody that maybe would like to discuss something, drop me a mail, drop me a message, hit me up on the Facebook, hit me on WhatsApp, and let me know what you're looking at, what you're thinking of. There are a couple of you that do let me know regularly how you're enjoying the podcast and your thoughts and your critique, should I say. And I appreciate those tremendously, so thank you for that. Yeah, what a time we've had, eh? Couple of crazy things happening in South Africa in terms of rulings and positioning. And looking through Facebook over the last sort of week and a bit, just looking at and just looking and seeing the amount of pain that people seem to be in is quite remarkable. I never realized, well, I did actually realize, I think it's maybe becoming more and more, and maybe you also seen it, maybe you're not noticing it. I'm not sure. You tell me. But I noticed that people are posting, you know, wishing themselves better, or you know, putting down people that have let them down, and that seems to be happening more and more. People just seem to feel very lonely, very isolated, and I've had the same. I've had the same feeling. I've had the same moment where I sort of felt, you know, who's left out there? Like, who do you trust, and who's good and who's not good, and all that for you, and that's sort of where we find ourselves. A lot of us find ourselves in that position of doubt and sort of uncertainty as to where to go and who to trust. And one of the things that I've sort of been telling myself, and it's been hard. You know, it's easy to dispense advice, and very hard to take your own advice. And even advice from others. So I've been sort of saying to myself, you know, stop listening to what other people think of you. Know what you're worth. You know, that whole thing. And we all do it. And we all, you know, people say don't listen to others. And yet when you're in it, it's a very dark place. And I want to say to you out there, if you are in that place where you're feeling isolated or you're feeling lonely or you're feeling like, what's next? You're not alone. And the only bad thing would be not to take a chance, not to live a different day or live another day. And I was lucky enough a little while ago, and I say lucky enough because it's always a blessing to be acknowledged and to share. And I had the gift of being on my good man Timber's podcast called Tea Time. And we spoke about a little bit about me. Normally I get guys in here and we speak about themselves and we speak about general things, but we got to speak a little bit about my life. And I got to think that, you know, we did the podcast, lasted about an hour, And we actually hadn't touched on quite a few parts of my life and things that I've got to experience and things that I've done. And what it got me thinking was that it's so important in life to try as many different things as you can until you find something that actually resonates with you. And if you're lucky enough, the thing that resonates with you is the thing that also can make you money and make you a living. And obviously, depending upon where you are in your life or where you are in your lives, you will either be happy with where it puts you or you're going to want more. Some people chase money and want the big cars and the fancy cars and big houses, should I say. And there's other people that are just happy to be wherever they are and long as they are happy. So wherever you are, that's cool. Whatever your journey is, that's also cool. But try as many different things. And I think if we look back 30 years ago, 40 years ago, it was always about, you know, sort of getting married in your 20s, having kids, having a family. And that whole shift has changed where now people are only sort of getting married in their 30s and having kids in their late 30s and parenting now until their 50s. And it's cool. It's, you know, that sort of seems to be the way the world has changed. And with that change means that there's so much more time now for you to find what you're good at. Find out what feeds your soul. Not a case of like going to have to leave school and go and study and you know, staple yourself into a career or pathway only 20 years into your life. I mean, 20 years and people now generally are living into their... What is it now? Living into their, what's it, 80s now? Quite comfortably 80s? 70s, 80s, I think comfortably. So 20 years old to sort of go, at 20 years old, this is what I'm going to do for the next 60 years. And to make that decision with only 20 years of experience is a little bit nuts. And I'm encouraging everybody out there. And even if you're in your 40s now, try things. Just try different things. I've been blessed that I've been able to do so many different things. And I always go and say that, you know, a jack of all, master of none. But I'm actually happy with that. I'm happy that I've tried so many different things and experienced so many different things that it gives me a bigger insight into so many different avenues, so many different opinions. So, yeah. Go out there, try lots of different things. And speaking of trying different things, I don't know if you guys have tried this. I know the younger generation are doing it, and I've noticed now over the last couple of weeks, there seems to be an older generation now, including myself, that's now climbed on board the TikTok train. I'll call it the TikTok train. It's an app called TikTok. If you don't know what it is, it's called TikTok. And there are quite a few things you can do with this app. The way it started was, it was basically recording yourself either dancing to a song, doing a dance move, or miming to a song, doing something funny. But the platform has grown now quite, I mean, massively. It's the new, I would say it's the new social media platform that if you're not on, you need to be on in terms of content creation. If you're out there creating content, you need to be on there. I mean, there's some big names that have climbed on board the TikTok train. And go on and have a look for yourself. Download it. There's no joining. There's no fees. You literally download the app. And if you don't want to post your own videos, you can just watch what's going on out there. Some incredibly talented people out there doing dance stuff. There's some incredibly funny people doing some fucking crazy shit like just skits and that sort of thing. But it's a great place to get lost in terms of creating content and creating, and if you've got something that you either want to sell or something that you want to advertise, it's a place to do it. I mean, I think that, and I'll speak on a correction, I'm not sure where, what's next, but it certainly looks like it's the next social media place to be. I think it'll take over from Snapchat. Snapchat. I think Snapchat's still around, but I do think that it'll take over from that. Well, it really has taken over in terms of numbers on it. It's got crazy edit features. It's got crazy filters, crazy effects. It really is for an app that's free and that you can film on and do things. It's incredible what it can do. So do yourself a favor, get onto TikTok, even if you're just going to be a voyeur. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty entertaining. There's some real dumb asses out there. There's a huge South African content out there as well. The guys are really, really South Africans taking to it. And you get to see a little bit of our country as well, from people sort of proudly showing South Africa off, which is quite cool. Another thing that's got my bugbear, and I posted a video up on Facebook not so long ago, was this Metro cop thing. And I was driving down the road the other day, and I'll just give you a brief into it if you didn't get to see my video. Was Metro cops, and for those who don't know what Metro cops are, it's traffic cops. Traffic cops in Johannesburg, and I think, and I'm going to say Johannesburg because that's where I live. And I was in Cape Town recently, and I didn't get to really observe too much of it. I heard a little bit about it, that it's not that different, but I never personally got to observe it, so I don't want to go and say that it happens in Cape Town or in Durban, where I was 2 weeks ago. But in Johannesburg, the Metro cops pretty much sit on what do they call them? Those off-ramps and on-ramps to highways, and pull you over for talking on your cell phone. That seems to be the big thing. And the majority reason for that is that it's obviously it's an easy bribe for them. That first of all, they're sitting on an off-ramp, nobody around, nobody to visually keep an eye on them. They can pull you over and go, you on your phone, it's a 500 rand fine. And then you go, oh, geez, you know, can't you help me out? And they go, oh, what have you got? And then you give them, you know, a couple of bucks, and then off you fucking go. And you think you saved yourself 300 bucks, or you saved yourself, you know, 200 bucks, whatever you bribed the asshole. But the point is this, is that I would love for these Metro cops to just once actually to do some actual police work. And what I mean by that is that why, you know, if you remember, and if you're as old as me, you might remember there was this program, and I always, it was called CHIPS, California Highway Patrol. And the anagram was CHIPS, or whatever the shortened version was CHIPS. And there's two guys, Punch and Bacon, who used to ride their motorbikes on the highway and fight traffic offenders, if that's what you want to call it. And that was policing. You know, that was like a guy did something illegal, went through a red robot, didn't stop at a stop street, did a U-turn at a robot, or there was a transgression of the bylaws of the traffic, or the bylaws that we have. They would then enforce those, chase after you, pull you over, wave you down, give you a fine for that, you know. And I think today, if you honestly have to look at what fines have been presented out, it's like no seatbelt or speaking on a cell phone. I'd love to know if anybody out there has ever got a fine for doing a U-turn at a robot. Because I think if I had to sit at a robot today and watch, I think we'll probably see about 10 U-turns in the space of 10 minutes, if not more. You're not allowed to do it. It's actually an illegal thing to do a U-turn at a robot. It's actually an illegal thing to stop at a robot when the robot is green and offload and unload passengers, whether you're a taxi or you're dropping off your domestic. You're not allowed to stop at a fucking robot and drop them off. It's illegal. You're not allowed to actually stand at a robot, whether you're handing out a pamphlet for Deco Fern or whether you are begging for money or doing a fucking dance on a beer crate. It's an illegal practice. You're not allowed to do that. Or selling a fucking charger or sunglasses or a Dragon energy drink, whatever the hell you're doing, you're not allowed to be at a robot. No people are allowed to be at a robot unless they're crossing the road to go onto the other side. The standing at a robot or the creating of business at a robot is illegal. And yet we see it all the time at every fucking robot in Joburg. Yet there's nobody policing it. Now, why aren't those Metro cops who are sitting at the off-ramp collecting their monies for themselves standing at the fucking robots, policing those robots, giving those taxis fines when they stop and pull over or riding to the painted island to jump the robot? Why aren't they doing that job Because you know why? Because that means it's fucking work. It means it's hard. It means effort. It means actually having to do something that actually they get paid for. Sitting at an off-ramp, finding Mr. Smith for being on his cell phone or not wearing a seatbelt, and they can take $200 is over and above their salary. You know, it's nice. It pays for their holiday. It pays for their private school education for their kids, which I don't even think they'd actually do that. So it just pays their money that they don't actually shouldn't be getting. And we're guilty because we pay them. Because it's so much fucking easier. Let's be honest. It's easier. It's easier than getting a fine. It's not even the 500 rand. Because half of us can pay the 500 rand. We'll probably give the cop $500 just so we don't have to get the fine. Just so we don't have to worry about having to try and go and pay that fine somewhere. I think that really is. It's just that pain in the ass. But this happens all the time. These guys sit at off ramps and they do not do actual policing. And we need to stop this shit. We need to somehow as a public, we need to actually make this awkward for them. We need to, A, don't stop when they try and pull you over an off ramp. Fuck them. If there's one police car or two police cars and they're standing out their cars, pulling you over, waving you over, don't stop. Drive. Drive your fucking car, okay? Because those fuckers are too lazy to get in their car and go and chase you, okay? Guaranteed it, they are too lazy to chase you. They won't chase you. I know that. And if they do chase you, you say you never saw them, it's the same fucking fine anyway. They're just going to want money, so now you give them extra $100. But don't stop. Just keep driving. Fuck them, all right? And when you do see them, take a picture of those fuckers and post that shit on social media and say, this is where these guys are. This is the hard policing they're doing. Let's start exposing them where they are. Let's stop them sitting there doing this because that's bullshit. It's not proper policing. So, yeah, that's my rant about our traffic enforcement, our traffic officers that don't do anything worthwhile. And, of course, now the big topic at the moment, just passed now in September, a couple of weeks ago, was the ruling of no spanking your kids. So a ruling came out in the Constitutional Court. Justice Moeng, I think it's Moeng. Oh, that's I think it's Moeng. Anyway, the Chief Justice Moeng ruled that you're no longer allowed to discipline your kids, basically spank your kids. So no more spanking of your kids, no more corporal punishment, as they call it. It's been ruled you're not unlawful. And what that ruling actually means now, is for those that don't really understand it or don't understand what could happen, is that your parents now can be prosecuted for assault if they are convicted of spanking their kids. So if you get caught beating your kids, and I don't know how you would get caught. Maybe your kids report you, maybe your neighbors report you, or somebody reports you, and you now get found guilty of giving your kids a hiding. You could have a criminal record for abuse, and your children can be removed from the family if you're found guilty. So, what this means is, and I think you should tell your kids this if you've got kids, that if you give them a hiding and they report you, there's a strong possibility that they could get removed and get put into foster care. And getting put into foster care means that there's no more cushy life for them. No more private school. No more Wi-Fi at home. No more cell phone. Because foster care is not in a pleasant place to be. You could possibly end up in a worse position. Well, I guarantee you end up in a worse position because, A, the people will not love you like your parents love you, and that's why they're disciplining you. So warn your kids that the reporting of you giving them a hiding could end up them having to be removed from the house. But more importantly, you could end up with a criminal record. So now we're no longer allowed to give our kids hidings. Now the children have rights. And this whole thing came about from a guy. So this is what happened was, it's quite funny. In 2007, a year ago actually, 2007? No, it was 2 years ago. Two years ago, October 2017, a man assaulted his son. And what happened was he allegedly smacked and kicked his son for watching porn. So he caught his son watching porn, and he kicked and smacked him, and he claimed he was disciplining the child. But also at the same time, when the mother tried to stop him, he ended up smacking and beating the mother as well. So clearly this man has got an issue with violence. So it's not a case of an isolated guy. A guy gave a kid a hiding for being naughty. He kicked. I mean, I don't know why you're kicking your child anyway. I mean, I've given my children hidings, and I'm a strong advocate for giving your kids hidings. I believe that a child needs discipline, and I believe giving a hiding is the best discipline, because we as animals, and we are animals, we're humans, we're part of the animal kingdom, whether you think so or not, we are. We only learn through pain, and taking away a child's cell phone or limiting TV time or the Wi-Fi code being changed is not painful enough, and it's actually pathetic. So a good smack, and obviously a controlled smack, one that hurts but doesn't bleed, one that is effective, will have its course. And if you ask your children don't want to get a hiding, but take away their TV, yeah, they'll survive. Take away their cell phone, they will survive. And this positive, what do they call it? Positive parenting. What a load of horseshit. Positive parenting is a load of crap, okay? Pain, suffering, okay, is what we learn. That's how we learn things ourselves. People say, don't do this, you do it, you learn. Why don't I touch a hot oven? Because when you did touch it, it fucking hurt. It was painful. It burnt you. It was there. And I could have told you don't touch it. And I could say that plate is hot. And I guarantee you, I say it's hot, you still go and touch it to see if it's hot. And you'll burn. You'll go, oh, fuck, it is hot. I'm not going to try that again. Because we learn through pain. Okay? And I believe that our hiding is not a bad thing. I think I got hidings, and I know a lot of my friends got hidings. And a lot of you got hidings growing up in South Africa. And you're not any worse off. In actual fact, you're probably a lot better off than the youth we have today running around. I think that the youth today are completely lost. I think that they have no idea of respect, of boundaries, of just having guidelines, like what is wrong and right. Because religion has fallen off completely. Our government has completely lost the plot in terms of persecuting or prosecuting the crimes. So now we have a case where you can steal and murder and rape, and you get a slap on the wrist, because effectively what you get for those things is a slap on the wrist. There's no more death penalty. There's no more serious time spent, because now you get out parole after a couple of years. So you kill somebody and you can get off after a couple of years. There's no real deterrent to crime. And I think half of what crime comes from, and the reason for crime, is the deterrent to stop it. If there's enough of a deterrent to stop somebody from doing crime, they will probably not do it. I believe that's evident in our society. And again, the same goes for kids. You tell your children they're not allowed to do something, or in this particular case, this kid's watching porn. I don't know how old the child was. I didn't say how old the child was. But you catch your kid. I mean, what age would you think is a bad age for a child to watch porn? That you would have to beat your child for watching porn. I laugh because I just think it's so funny. Because I think from an early age of like 13, boys start getting, you know, that whole thing happening. And porn is pretty much a way of dealing with it. So your kid gets caught watching porn. But I mean, what other punishment is there? Bad marks or cheekiness or breaking curfew or whatever punishment there needs to be given. You give them a smack, and a smack can be a hiding on the butt. And then again, you know, you're not allowed to use tools. They say no tools allowed, no rods or sticks. We used to get jacks with canes at school. I used to get hidings with belts at home. I don't see the problem. And, you know, if I wouldn't take it away from my childhood, and I'm sure a lot of you wouldn't either. But we're not allowed to do it. We're not allowed to do it anymore. And I think we are creating a society of misfits. I think we are creating a society of losers. And I'm very interested to see what is going to happen in the next 20 years to the new generation and the generation that's currently 10 years old and the generation that's currently 20 years old, how they're going to fit into society over the next 20 years. It's going to be a very interesting time because already there's just so much chaos. I don't think we've ever seen a society that is so connected but so disconnected. And that's quite the scary thing. But yeah, no more spanking. And if you all have it, if my children step out of line, I told them they're going to get spanked. They're going to get a hiding still. They're going to run to report me. But, you know, if they step out of line, they're going to get a hiding. Obviously, the alternative is that you're not allowed to beat your kids or you're not allowed to give your kids a hiding. I don't like the word beat. You're not allowed to give your kids a hiding. That's fine. Maybe you should just taser them. Just get those little tasers. Just give them a bit of a zzz. Let's do that. Let's all get tasers. And when the kid steps out of line, just taser them. Doesn't leave a mark. Can't prove it. I think it's beautiful. I'm not advocating violence, people. Relax. I'm just having a joke. It's called comedy. But yeah, no more spanking of your kids. Yeah. So keep that in mind. Remind your kids that obviously they will be taken away from your parents. If they are found guilty, your parents, you will lose your home. So be careful who you report or why you report. And obviously beating and kicking your kids is not discipline. Okay, I mean, this whole ruling happened because of this arsehole doing this to his kid for watching porn. He kicked and beat it and it turned on the mother. And it was because of this whole thing that happened and that it went to the Constitutional Court that the child is allowed rights. And then it came out that now that we're no longer allowed to spank your children. And that's where it all... So, yeah. South Africa plunges further into a country of chaos with no correct deterrent to being or doing wrong. Yeah. Before we wrap up the podcast for today and my little time spent with you, I want to just touch on another quick little subject that has come up and been the topic of a few conversations over the last few weeks, is a group on Facebook called I Love Four Ways. And I think a lot of you might know the group. It's the Blue Heart Group. I think they're called the Blue Heart Group. They got a thing called I Love, and it's I Love Four Ways. I Love Bryanston. I Love This. I Love every place. I think there's I Love Bryanston. I Love This. Randburg. There's quite a few. And it's run by, I think they're called the Blue Heart. Is it the Blue Heart Group? Something like that. And I speak under correction. Maybe I should look and make sure. Let me just make sure while I'm talking to you about this. So there's a group called I Love Four Ways. And particularly, I'm talking about this particular group, I Love Four Ways. And I Love Four Ways is, there are a couple of groups that fall under that. And what they say they do, they support local business. I Love Four Ways is a Facebook group targeted at bringing local community members together and to support local business. Okay, so this is what they say they do. They bring a group. But it's a closed group. And part of being part of that closed group is that you have to request to be a part of it, and they then mediate whether you can be part of the group. It's called the Blue Heart Group. They're the ones that that run the I Love Four Ways. I'm trying to see what other businesses they have. I Love Four Ways. It doesn't say. I'm trying to find out. But interesting enough, I Love Four Ways group is Carol Penny. It's the Penny. The Pennies are the guys that oversee that group. That's what I was trying to find out. Yeah, Carol Penny is one of the siblings that run the group. But what I was trying to get to about this I Love Four Ways group is the initiative and the idea behind it is actually great. I think it's a great idea if that's what it was. And what I mean by that is that if it's about local group targeting, bringing local community members together. But the group has rules and moderators and people that oversee this group. And if you don't know much about, they've got how many? 51,000 people like the group now. It's 51,495 at the moment. People are on this group. But what's very interesting is that you have to, if you want to post on the group, you have to then send a post off that you're posting about your business. You're only allowed to post, I think, one free one a week, if that's the rules. I can't remember the exact rules. I can go read the rules now. I really don't want to get into that. The gist of it is that you can post, but they have to approve the post. If their post doesn't work to their criteria, what they think is it is, what they think it is, then it gets rejected and doesn't go on. Furthermore, if you want to post your stuff on or list your business with them, you have to then pay them a fee, a monthly fee. And I think the monthly fee is like 250 Rand or something like that. I think it's 250 Rand. But here's the joke, and here's the thing I want everybody to understand about the I Love Four Ways thing. Just or understand about social media. Okay. There's 51,000 people on this group. The organic growth, and what I mean by the organic reach of a group on social media is as little as 10 to 15%. Okay, so you say, what the hell are you talking about, Stephen? Okay, what I'm talking about is this. If there's 51,000 people, let's just call it 50,000 people, okay, and you post something on this group, whether you post it or they post it for you because you've paid them to do it, okay, only 10 to 15% will see that. So of 50,000 people, that 50,000 people, only 10% will see it. Only five, and let's be generous. Let's give it 15%. Only 7,500 people will see that. Now comes the problem, and I want you to understand this. Because of that 51,000, you don't know who that 51,000 is. Is that 51,000 people that actually live and work in Four Ways? Is it actual people that provide services in Four Ways? Because they just accept anybody into the group largely. There's no real policing of what people go on that group. Is the members of that 51,000, are they people that have business or people that have business interest or people that reside in that Four Ways area that would actually be bothered to see your post or would even be interested in your post or even take up your business proposal? Because maybe that one of those people, or maybe let's say 10,000 of those people don't even live in the Four Ways area. So if 10,000 don't even live in the Four Ways area, and I think I'm being very, very, I'm underestimating you. I'm sure there's a lot more of that 51,000 that got nothing to do with Four Ways at all. But I'm saying, let's say 10,000 of them not. Of that 10,000, it means of your 7,500 that'll see it, even less will actually get to see it. And what I mean by see it, it means that of that 7,500, it'll appear on 7,500 people's timeline. Whether they go and actually look at their timeline or not is not really Facebook's worry, or not really I Love Four Ways issue. They don't really give a fuck. They just want you to know that they got 51,000 people. So the return of your 250 Rand investment is a jokeable return. That there is no return. If you get a hit, you're fucking lucky based upon those algorithms that Facebook run. Based upon that, and if you doubt me, go and read up about it. Go and do your own research. I'm telling you, the research that I've done and the people that I've spoken to who are involved in social media advertising have obviously backed me up or informed me of more information that I'm now passing on to you about how this works. And the interesting thing is that I did a check to see that of the I Love Four Ways, because if you've got a 10 to 15% organic reach, if you spend money on that post, say if you boost that post, it'll increase your reach by another 20 to 30, depending on how much money you throw at it. But based upon those sort of numbers of 51,000, if you had to go and spend 100 Rand on boosting a post, you could probably increase that by an extra 30 to 40%. So you got 15% already, you can add another 25 to 30% of 100 Rand. Now you're spending 250 Rand, if they took 100 of it, you then would get probably about 45% of the group would possibly get to see it. Possibly get. So of the 51,000, you should now reach, let's say, 25,000 people. Right? Of which we don't know how many of that 51 has, again, stay in the area. I said deduct 10,000. I'm just doing maths. I'm throwing numbers at you because I'm trying to get you to understand how this works and what a lot of bullshit this is, so that you don't waste your time and your money on this crap. So I check to see that Allah4Ways doesn't even boost posts. It doesn't do paid advertising. It doesn't boost posts. The only paid advertising it does is its own advertising when it does to try and boost its own groups to increase that 51,000, okay, to make that 51,000 bigger. That's the money that it spends advertising itself. It doesn't spend money on your advert. So when you pay them 250, it doesn't go, hello, Mr. Joe, you've given us 250. Of the 250, we're going to spend 100 rand boosting your post to our community. No, they don't. They keep all that 250 and they just stick you on the fucking page with the 10% organic growth. So what I'm saying to you is stop wasting your time, stop wasting your money. Okay, this is a waste of time, waste of money. This family here that's running this Allah4Ways and Allah all the other groups is making money from you, making a living out of your stupidity. Stop it. Stop it now. Spend your money, run your own business, boost your own posts, spend a little bit of time understanding how this social media works and spend the money on yourself and do your own work because you can get a far, far, far better bang for your buck. And another little thing that I heard recently, and I'm not going to speak exactly because it's not 100% confirmed, but be careful of the digital mafia that these guys run as well, where they start running bad things about your business and then ask to help you fix your public perception. If that's happened to you, if you've had your business slated on social media, and you've particularly on the Allah4Ways group, your group's getting slated by people saying that your business is shit, and then they come and say they want to help you fix it. A little bit of digital mafia is happening there. Huh? So just be aware of it because I've heard a couple of reports of it. Just be aware of the fact that that's happening and whether it's them doing it or whether somebody else is trying to cash in on the bad branding and then offering to fix you. That's a very, very strong possibility that's also going down at the moment. So don't get caught by this whole thing. Spend money on yourself. Spend money on your own. There's a lot of communities groups out there that don't charge to be part of them. So go get part of those groups. Share your information on those groups because it's not going to cost you anything, and you're going to get the same rich as you get on these paid forums. This blue heart bullshit. I'm probably going to get a lot of trouble for this, and they're probably going to come at me and threaten me with lawyers' letters like they did somebody else that I know. But I'm not scared because I have a right to say what I want to say. It's not defamation. It's fact. I'm talking about social media advertising and the fact that they don't boost and post, which I've checked and I've verified. And if they now start doing it, well, then I've done my job. I've helped you out. And if they don't start doing it, then my point is proven. Anyway, this is Castle's Council. It's been lovely to talk to you guys again. As I said, there will be four podcasts dropped this week, and I hope you enjoy them. Hope you enjoyed this one and a little bit inside. And don't forget, give me some feedback. Feed me, guys. It's nice to hear from you when I do. It just means that what I'm doing is not just in vain. So, yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Remember my three sponsors, Papa Pronto, make the best Italian food, the best service, the cleanest restaurant. You know that if it falls on the floor, you could pick it up and eat it because that's how clean that place is and that's how proud they are of their place. Visit Papa Pronto. They're in Witkoppen, on Witkoppen Road, and they're also in Craigoven. Go visit them if you're in the Four-Ways area. It's worth the trip. It's worth the time. If you haven't got time to stay there, get a takeaway. It'll be just as great. So Papa Pronto and, of course, Jack Black Men's Products. I tell you, I've got a lot of them. They've been giving me a lot of new products to test out. There are quite a few of them. I'll tell you a little bit more about them in the next two or three podcasts. I'll give you a bit of information on one or two of the products that I am using. They are incredible products. They are brilliant. Try them out. They are available from Metropolitan online, Metropolitan pharmacies around Johannesburg. They are available from Gary Rom, which is in Four-Ways Mall. There's a Gary Rom pharmacy, or Gary Rom, sorry, barber, men's stylist, they sell products there. I know there are one or two discounts. The Shave Union now, which is also my other sponsor. I've also got Jack Black on their platform. Shave Union, if you shave and you're not getting your blades from the Shave Union, you're wasting your time and you're wasting money. So get hold of them. Remember, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. I'm Stephen Castle and I don't give a fuck.